Holy Spirit. Amen. He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Amen. This is an interesting basis for all that we know and understand. The summary of the law, it's been called. Now, I discovered at the early service some people were distracted, so let me just step back for a second and let you know. As Father Don and I learned to work and live together as priests, we initially decided that on Sunday morning, one would be the celebrant and one would function as the deacon. And then we discovered, without real conversation, that the two of us are used to functioning by ourselves, not necessarily with a deacon. So now we're going to function as celebrant and preacher, with the exception of the reading of the gospel. That's why my clothes have changed, by the way. Traditionally, it would look similar to this, although because I don't like to have a lot of stuff hanging around me, as some people do, I did not wear my tippet and my hood, which are in the other room if you'd like to see them. They did give me one, shockingly. But just so you know, don't be distracted. I did not forget to go to the cleaners, although I did not press this. Maybe next week. But the reality is, well, actually, you press yours. This basis of this understanding of the summary of the law comes to fruition in God's church. And as we are reading Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica, we're hearing Paul writing to a church in the beginning of this letter that has been faithful against struggle. Things haven't been going that well for them, and they have stood firm on what they knew and what they had learned about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul is showing them that they have become an example, and he's sharing that with them. And then he shares his own journey alongside of them so that they understand that they're in it together. This letter was offered to the Thessalonians, written from Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, so those who are traveling with him are included in the understanding of recognizing God's glory in this church. He says, "You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition." Now, that may not seem like much if we don't pay close attention to what he's saying. Before they came to this church that is now an example of what it means to live faithful, they were in Philippi being treated poorly because of the gospel. And after leaving that place, having been treated poorly, went to Thessalonica and shared the gospel with them, and it was heard. Amen? And in this letter, it's being recognized that it was heard and acted upon. That is faithfulness. Paul and his missionary team ran up against opposition, and they just simply moved from that in the glory and the strength of God and continued to share the gospel with the next place God called them to go. And it was heard. Maybe even more so, because they struggled and were treated poorly in Philippi. And he says to them, "For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak, not to please mortals, but to please God who tests our hearts." This may come as a shock to you, but when you start walking out into this world and you start sharing the good news of the gospel and you start speaking that into people's lives, in love, preferably, not everybody's going to be happy. And so often in our lives, brothers and sisters, how often do we find ourselves moving in our faith and feeling strong and feeling encouraged and going through our lives, and we have a moment where something shifts inside of us, an encounter we may have in the world when we know that we're feeling the Spirit of God, and then we walk into it and we pull back We pull back. And we hold back from sharing the gospel in that moment. It may be something as simple as one of you're saying something, you encourage somebody to pray with you before you eat a meal, maybe it's your own family, and they're like, oh, please, do we need this here today? Those people who are now trying to explain to you that you spend way too much time in church and way too much money, that are concerned that you have lost it, that you don't understand that you have gone too far in your church. Brothers and sisters, by the way, these are the same kind of people who don't hold back from spending thousands of dollars to watch people play a game on a field every year. What time's the game today? See if I can overrun it. But doesn't that happen? That's acceptable, amen? You spend how much money on that? In fact, we will celebrate how much money we spend on worldly things and tell other people how much it costs. Amen? But man, you spend too much time in church and somebody recognizes it, we don't stand up and say, you don't get it. This is what matters most. You need to come with me. Let me share with you the gospel. We step back and go, yeah, okay. And we hold back. Even in our own families. But we need to hear the fullness of what was being said to those who were challenging Jesus. Just marked this last minute, so give me just a second to find it. After sharing with them these commandments, the Pharisees were gathered together. Jesus asked this question, what do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? And they said to him, the son of David. That makes sense. Everything they understand, the lineage in the scripture. He said to them, how is it then that David by the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under my feet. If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son? That was a moment, by the way. For those Jesus was speaking to, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those who have come to challenge him, they were just hit with something that they had not yet considered. The Messiah is the Son of God. Jesus is there proclaiming and people proclaiming on his behalf that he is the Son of God. And then we all reach a point, just like these people reached in this conversation with Jesus, where they were challenged by Jesus himself to recognize who he is. And at that moment, they didn't know what to do. No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. We don't know what happened. Maybe some of them then turned to Christ and said, you are the Messiah. And others may have dug in deep and went, wow, you know, he's just spoke a hard truth to me, and I'm just going to acknowledge that hard truth by ignoring it and moving with what I'm comfortable with. Rather than if I acknowledge that this Jesus is the Savior, this Jesus is my Savior, that means I'm going to have to actually change the way in which I move and do every single aspect of my life. And we stand on that edge. And every time we come to that edge and we are challenged to go beyond by the power of God and His Spirit indwelling us and we pull back, we are silenced before God. And we don't find the strength to understand the fullness of what God can and will do through us. The things in which Paul is recognizing in this letter that he's written today to the church, we miss it. We miss it. And I have to say, as someone who's called to stand before you, for whatever reason, God's sense of humor, as everyone says, which I'm okay with, but I have to say, I sometimes grow weary of being the butt of his jokes. So here I stand, called to be a spiritual leader of all things, something that I am woefully unequipped to handle, by the way, without him. And we get a unique perspective from where we sit, As clergy, as spiritual leaders, Father knows what I'm talking about. Father Steve also knows what I'm talking about. We are called to share the good news of the gospel over and over and over again with the people who proclaim Jesus as their Savior. Okay. Well, it's supposed to be encouraging so that you're ready to go out there and fight the fight all week long. Amen? Well, let's hope that's true. Now, Paul is being loving and supportive right now. Paul usually comes with correction. I'm going to go ahead and bring that. There's this concept of understanding the fullness of our faith. There's this concept of releasing ourselves to the fullness of living in the Spirit of God. And when you sit where I sit and others who lead faith communities, you have this interesting view of you watch people move in their faith. And there are times it is just glorious to see, amen? Father, you know what I mean. You've seen it. Someone, and we talk about it amongst ourselves, by the way, from time to time. Oh, did you see so-and-so? They finally surrendered fully to the love of God. It's just an amazing change in their life. You may have seen people like this in your life. They're traveling along, and you're thinking, that's good, that's good. You're friends, you all understand church a little bit. You go to church, you have a good time, you interact with one another, and you know, maybe you talk a little stuff about the church in between, and you justify your distance of your faith journey with one another. This is enough. We don't want to be like those crazy people that have gone way over the edge. That, I mean, every time you talk to them, all they want to do is talk about Jesus. And then, you know, you don't, and I mentioned, don't tell them you're sick. Do not tell them you're not feeling good. Because they are going to come over and start praying for you out loud in front of everybody. Whoa, no. I don't want to go that far. But your heart does, doesn't it? And then we hit that moment. We stand there on that edge. And then we find somebody to justify the fact that we're not taking another step. What we're doing is enough. I mean, let's face it, our denomination has some pretty minimal requirements. Too minimal. Well, we don't hold to that here. Here we raise the bar. Because this is where life happens. Real life. The fullness of life. The joy of the Lord. The opportunity to grow in our faith. To transform. So that we can do the work of transforming. But we make those excuses, don't we? Well, I went to church 2 weeks ago. If I don't go this week and I go next week, and then Christmas is coming and I'm going to go more then than I ever go, that'll be enough. Yeah, I know they want help in this area and the church needs help in that area, and yes, I could do it with my eyes closed, but it'll be fine. And our heart sinks. But we don't stand in that pain. What we like to do then is we just go surround ourselves with other people that are doing the same thing so we can together go, yeah, I'm not going to come to that. Are you coming to that? No, I'm not doing that. That's too much. They ask too much of us. This is a volunteer organization. What do they want? I don't get paid. And he gets paid to do that. Well, that's true. Doesn't really change much, though, does it? It's about this, brothers and sisters. And we hear you, and we see you, and we watch you grow, and we watch you come right to the edge of really stepping into the fullness of what God's offering you. We can see you sitting there, and we can see it kind of rising up inside of you, and we can see the passion growing in you, and we can see the changes happening, and then you go, oh. And then we don't see you at all. You know what that means to you when we see that? Somebody goes, what happened to so-and-so? I said, they got too close. They got too close to Jesus, just like the Pharisees did on this day, and they heard what he said, who he is, and they had to decide right then and there, who is this Jesus for me? And in the fear of it, and in the distraction offered to them by the evil one who walks freely here, they backed away, brothers and sisters. And they missed the opportunity. We've all missed it, amen? How many times have we come so close to the risen Lord that we turned around in fear that it might change us, and we just went back and justified, I need a line. I need balance in my life. Please, balance. Tell me who's got balance in their life here right now. I do. You know what it's all balanced on? This, my faith in Jesus Christ. There is nothing that comes between this and my heart. Nothing. Every now and then something creeps in, brothers and sisters, but when the choice is to be made, the choice is Jesus. How many times have I said the answer is always Jesus? If you get caught off guard in Sunday school and they say, do you know the answer? You just go, Jesus? I learned that in seminary because one of my classmates was half asleep and the professor asked him a question. He looked up and he's like, Jesus? It's always the right answer. And he's like, well, you're not wrong, but that's not exactly the question I was asking. But the fact of the matter is we come so close to living in the glory of God. And then we pull away because the world creeps in on us and we choose the world. I hear all your stories. I know how far you're running. We hear all of the excuses. Oh, I couldn't be in church on Sunday because, well, you know, Saturday night we were at the game. Or we were at the dance. Or wherever it is you were. Oh, you know what really gets me the most? Super Bowl Sunday. You know what clergy call that? Another low Sunday. We can't go to church on Super Bowl Sunday because we might miss a game that starts at 6 o'clock at night. Please, brothers and sisters, come on. How many times have we heard this? How many times have you done it? And we smile and we go, okay. You know what we're really thinking? Grow up. Please. It's like having the kid come in and tell you, I couldn't get my homework done because, well, the dog ate it. That dog didn't eat it. Your homework's not done because you just didn't do it. Let's be honest with ourselves. If you choose not to be involved in the body of Christ, just say, you know what? I chose not to do it. If you can come up and come face to face with the risen Lord in your life, and he's explaining to you in great detail of understanding who he is, and you're in a place of saying, I don't believe that to be true, I will step away. By all means, step away. If you come to that place and you know that that is the truth and you're facing the same decision that they were facing in front of Jesus in this story in the gospel today, and you haven't yet chose this to be the truth in your life, the spiritual reality that Jesus is the Messiah, he is the Lord of Lords, the Lord of your life. If you have not yet accepted that, accept it and see what he has for you. And if you're struggling to accept it, call me. Call anybody. That crazy person who wants to pray for you when you tell them, when they tell you you're sick and they immediately want to pray with you right then and there, call them because they already know. You see it. See, that's what's happening for the church in Thessalonica. They have been moving in this truth of Jesus Christ. And Paul's seen it. He's seen them faithful in the carrying of the gospel. And they are hearing from their pastor, good job. You didn't do this to please other people. The work you've done is please God. You live in a place where people are striving to do that every day. We're seeing it already, both the struggle and the fruit. Ron, could you go get the poster for me? We have a feeding ministry that you know the story, amen? TLC, how it got started, how it became a drive-through, and then it became a pickup, and then we're moving to, hey, I think maybe we better have people come and sit down, and we can really pray and talk with them. They're staying anyway. They might as well eat while they're here, amen? We were nervous and hesitant. What if they don't come back? Yeah, what if they don't? Well, they keep coming back, by the way. Thank you. In the midst of that, we had found another miracle right back there. In the midst of all of it, we found ourselves over at San Clemente. I'm trying to think of the nice word. It's not an old folks' home. It's not really a nursing home. What are they? Assisted living?
Independent living.
Okay, whatever. Where old people hang out, where they get lots of help. Not us, other people. We went to them because we felt God calling us to go there and just share the love of Jesus with them. And then as we started to open ourselves up to what God's been doing in TLC, you know what he opened up for us? Dover Elementary. Now listen close, brothers and sisters, in case you can't see God and make your decision, let me show you Jesus right now. We opened up our hearts to the reality that we may have to change the way in which we move and do this ministry. We opened up our hearts to that and we began to make the shift. For the last two feedings, we've gone to San Clemente and said to them, we have discerned and been given the opportunity to go serve God's people in the heart of Dover. There's a great need there with children. This is their response. This is our letter, brothers and sisters. God has seen the work. This is your letter of gratitude from the members of the people who live at San Clemente. This is their notes of thanksgiving. Listen closely to the scripture that is referenced from Luke. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. It's been seen. And the people who were being served now are blessing us and praying us into a new mission field. Now, this is what you may not know. Many of the people at San Clemente used to work the very fields that the families we're now ministering to are now working. Amen? Do you not see God here? Can you deny this reality that God is moving here now in this very place among us and through us? Tell me how you struggle to see this reality that when we stay out of the way and we begin to let go of our control, God has such a greater plan. And every single time we let go, God is glorified. The people who were being served are now in ministry with us. They were getting food and conversation. Now they have purpose. They are praying for us as they send us into the mission field, into the very place in which many of them had lived their lives when they were younger. Undoubtedly praying daily that someone would come and love them and help them to the next meal. Are you seeing this? Is it just me? Do you see the very presence of God moving here? Who is he to you, brothers and sisters? Will we stand like the Pharisees and the Sadducees in silence and just walk away? Or will it be the ones who finally say, my Lord, my God, you stand right here with us. And when we see you, we move with you and by your power. And I am changed. My life is transformed. And in the midst of that, we begin to transform lives and the world through his power, not our own, through his presence, not ours. Can you see it? Is it real? Will we come to the place in our journey in which Paul is and in which way he shares with the church this day in his letter to the Thessalonians. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. Or, as Jesus might say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What are you waiting for? Look at us. Look at us sitting here, literally watching with a front row of seat, seeing what God can do. I hear your excuses. I know them. The dog ate my homework too. But brothers and sisters, please, please, don't deny the reality of what God is doing right in front of you. Do not ignore the reality that it is not an accident. Do not ignore the reality that it was He that brought you here. Don't begin to flatter yourself to think you somehow have control in this. You have a choice in this. You can walk with, or you can walk away. Please, I am begging you, do not miss this opportunity to walk with, to give yourself fully to those God's called you to serve. Just like He gave Himself fully to you. You can walk out this door and say, we're going back into reality. Or you can live in this space we're in right now together and know that this is life, and life abundant as God intended it to be. Still a choice. Just a choice.